Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. First segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Mirjana Komjanovic from Auger Lake. So tell me a little bit about Auger Lake.
Auger Lake Camp is a camp facility that was specially built and designed to accommodate for people with special needs, their families, and caregivers.
So, what sorts of features are available within the facility?
Well, the cabins are designed with equipment that can help accommodate for wheelchair access, full wheelchair access. So, much wider hallways. Cabin 2 has a lift system. The others have portable lifts. The furnishings are all, you know, so that so anyone in a wheelchair can easily access the kitchen and such. All the trails are built so that there is easier access for those in wheelchairs. The outdoor toilet washroom has lifts in it so that anyone in a wheelchair. So it's very soothing and calming and peaceful for those that have any concerns with mobility.
So how did the work get started?
Several years ago, a fellow named Bonner Dowler had a tragic family. He had lost his infant son to a heart condition in Vancouver, and when he was at the hospital with his son, he saw a lot of despair in the faces of the families, and he made a vow at that time to do something about that, to give families an opportunity to relax and get away. So several years later, he placed an ad in the local paper and asked if anybody had land that they would like to donate for this purpose, and up came a very generous offer for some property at Auger Lake and a little bit of seed money to start the project. And it built from there, and it built quickly from there.
So how has it expanded over time?
Well, 10 years ago, the area was a forested area. And from that, even by hand at times, we were taking logs away, leveling the land, bringing in pieces of the cabins. They were built in Penticton and then brought over, and the trails were forged with equipment. So it's become more of a park-like setting instead of just a forest.
So how do individuals with disabilities respond to having a place such as this?
Initially, people were surprised that this was even possible. So, but now that we're starting to become more known, they can see the advantages to it and how coming to Auger Lake Camp can actually change your perspective and how perhaps anything is possible. Families have very much enjoyed spending time together, especially those with special needs. They seem to find it relaxing and rejuvenating.
Are there any challenges in maintaining the facility?
Yes, there are. There are a lot of challenges in maintaining the facility. The facility is in the backcountry, so the roads sometimes can be challenging in early spring until they are graded. And also, the power source that we have is a very large generator, so our power is being generated. In the future, we're working towards a campaign to have permanent power, so hydroelectricity, into the camp so that we can easily be open a little bit longer. And as it is now, generator off at certain times of the day. So that is the challenge. Keeping the trails up is also a challenge. We're already finding that we need to be upgrading the trails. Winters can be a little bit rough on that. So that is always a challenge as well.
So in your time with Anchor Lake, has there been any one success moment that stood out for you?
Oh, there's been several of them. I'm thinking of one family in particular. He was born with a spina bifida and was a person that would never allow his disability to stop him from doing anything that he wanted to do. So he works in the area as a facilitator, and he has a family with a son, and he came up to the camp with his family, and they so much enjoyed their time together and the experience. And what happened afterwards was the transformation of their family, because they were able to spend time together in that kind of a setting. He actually joined the board after that and is now one of our board members, and we're so excited to have him and certainly have his perspective. So we really enjoy that. Also, I recall of a family, her son has MS and other conditions, and the setting out there was so tranquil that he found it peaceful and enjoyed the trails and the lake and going fishing. The docks are also wheelchair accessible, and he very much enjoyed that.
So, if you could send any one message about the need for a place like this, what would it be?
The message that I would like people to know is that I know how difficult it can be sometimes to feel safe in the wilderness. Yet, if you come up here and see the setting, you'll see how wonderful it can be, coming with a group, coming with your own caregiver, with your family, or even on your own, just to realize that spending time in nature is very tranquil and can give you peace of mind and give you the ability to understand that maybe anything is possible. And so that would be what I would like to let everyone know, that pretty much anything is possible.
So what are the next steps for Anchor Lake?
Well, as I mentioned before, the next steps is a campaign to have power put in, permanent power, which is very costly. It's going to be about $200,000. So that's definitely something that we're working towards, so that we can expand our services. And then the next thing would be to reach out to as many community members that need to come to Anchor Lake Camp.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
Accessible camps, accessible wilderness. I love hearing about these things, in so much as they can get a person with a disability out of their element, so to speak. A person with a disability might tend to be hesitant to take risks out in the great outdoors, in so much as they can get comfortable being in city life. They can get comfortable being close to a medical facility or a wheelchair ramp. This, in my opinion, leaves a sense that they might get hesitant to try new things, and ultimately they'd be denying themselves great and valuable experience. Fact is, there's no substitute for being out there in nature. And for a person with a disability, experiencing this for the first time, it's a very eye-opening experience, because they're just taking it in. They're just letting themselves live and experience. And once you go through that level of exhilaration and you realize what's possible, whether it be one-armed kayaking or wheelchair rafting, you realize that things aren't quite so limited or constructed as you might once have perceived them. You start to see things from a new standpoint. You start recognizing that possibilities do exist, not just in terms of the growth of medical technology or adapted technology, but as a person, you can experience this wonderful sense of being peace with nature, an even greater sense of community for those who would go out there in groups. For groups of kids with disabilities going out there, being a part of a camp for the first time, it's life-changing. And it's a remarkable experience. Lately, I've had the privilege of talking about a lot of adapted wilderness trails, a lot of adapted technology used for this purpose. The fact is, if you can construct a wheelchair capable of hiking, for example, anything's possible. There is no terrain in this world that should be off limits to a person with a disability, provided it's not off limits to anyone else. Fact is, equal access doesn't stop at the cities. It should expand to all corners of this world. And if a person with a disability wants to go hiking, I say it's not an obligation for us to figure this out, figure out a way. It's a privilege. It's providing an opportunity for growth and enlightenment, both for the person with the disability and for those who would go with them. For those who would go with them to recognize that they can be safe in the woods and they can have a good time, a good experience. There is always potential to reach beyond what we thought was possible. And that, too, is a great step in this journey we all call life. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Women's Enterprise Skills Training has an immigration settlement and adaption program. We provide support to newcomers and assist with living and working in Canada. Our program offers one-on-one assistance, employment and settlement workshops, monthly support groups for women and youth, community-based referrals, and solution-focused counseling. Contact West at 519-256-6621 or visit us online at www.westofwindsor.com. Women's Enterprise Skills Training of Windsor is located at 647 Olette Avenue, Suite 201. All services provided at no cost, and childcare is available at no cost. Funded by Citizenship and Immigration Canada.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Mirjana Komjanovic from Ager Lake Camp. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with inclusive design expert Samantha Walsh. So tell me a little bit about your background in inclusive design.
Okay. Well, my background in inclusive design is I'm currently a project coordinator at the Inclusive Design Research Center at OCAD. So that's been my most formal initiation into inclusive design, and I'm thinking about it in literal concepts of how do we manipulate technology, how do we manipulate systems, things like that. From an educational background, I have a master's in disability studies and I'm a doctoral candidate at U of T in sociology, and my research is exploring the idea of how do we manipulate macro structures and macro systems to create or facilitate inclusion of folks with disabilities. So I have some theoretical background from educational perspective, as well as some professional background in inclusive design.
So, in terms of the technologies and systems you mentioned, what sorts of improvements do you think should be added for individuals with disabilities?
A lot of my critique or suggestions for those would be the idea of reimagining folks with different sorts of embodiments as being the common user, as opposed to like an add-on or an accommodation we make once somebody has identified that they need the support or they want the support. So some of the technology and innovations that I'm really impressed with are things like phones that already have VoiceOver installed, and it's just a click of a button to turn it off or on. Different products that assume that the individual's experience is going to be varied, as opposed to assuming that everyone who uses the product is going to be understood as what would be conventionally labeled as like able-bodied.
So, in other words, you're looking at the concept that inclusion should not be an afterthought in these designs.
Yeah.
So, in your time with inclusive design, has there been any success moment that stood out for you?
So, I would say some of the success moments have been both in what I've been able to produce interactionally with other people, as well as some peaks in my own learning. So the project that I coordinate is actually a research project on employment for youth with episodic and invisible disabilities. And it's been really interesting as we promote this research, and we're creating a training module for youth to try and support them to get jobs. So part of my job is that I've had to connect with youth and tell them about the program. And it's been really interesting to kind of have those interactional moments where we talk about things like it's not you, it's the way jobs are structured. There's nothing wrong with the way you perceive time or the way you move through space. Like, the issue is that the workday isn't reflexive to the way you are, and sort of like shifting that perspective from I have to get better, I have to be better, I have to be more like quote unquote normal, to we need a more malleable structure, we need a more like flexible culture, we need something that's more reflexive to different bodies. And it's so exciting, like even in those small interactions when I'm promoting the program, to see those kind of light bulb moments where I can see the beginning of a student sort of de-internalizing, for lack of a better word, the sort of pernicious ableism that they've grown up with or existed with within like Western culture.
So you attended the recent DEEP conference. Can you tell me?
I did.
Tell me a little bit about that.
The DEEP conference was really interesting. It was a great opportunity to kind of noodle a lot of the theoretical concepts around inclusive design and looking at, like, how do we use technology to create a better quality of life. It was a fantastic networking opportunity. It was really energizing to be in a space where there was a lot of like-minded folks, but there's also a lot of really varied knowledge and perspective. I find that often when I go to conferences about topics that I'm interested in, it kind of becomes this sort of like we're all preaching to the choir, we're all in agreement. Whereas with DEEP, there was this interest in inclusion and interest in design, but it was from so many varied perspectives, and there was a lot of space created for participants to share their experience and give interactive feedback, which was a nice shift from traditional lecture style conferences or lecture style presentations. And it was just really well organized. I really appreciate the work of Dr. Vera Roberts in orchestrating that. You could tell that there's both a lot of passion, but also a lot of thought and detail put into the conference, and it was incredibly well run.
So, if you could send any one message to the community about the need for equal inclusion and the work to carry on, what would it be?
I'm sorry, the microphone cut out at the beginning of what you were saying. Could you just repeat it?
Alrighty, if you could send any message to the community about the need for equal inclusion and the work to keep pressing forward, what would it be?
I'm trying to think of a way to put this succinctly. My message would be that our experiences are all symbiotic, so they're all interconnected. So when we create an opportunity for someone to engage with us or participate in an experience, we not only create the opportunity for them, but we create the opportunity for ourselves. So you provide someone with an experience, but you also get the opportunity to have that experience with them and learn from them. And so it's not this idea of we're creating inclusion and spaces for people or on behalf of people or because it's the right thing to do. We're creating inclusion and spaces of connection because it's the way you create a rich culture, a rich society, and really proliferate and expand knowledge.
So
it's the idea of that interconnection and symbiotic move.
So tell me, what's your interest in inclusive design? Why do you feel so strongly about it?
So my interest about inclusive design comes from both academic and professional interests that I spoke about earlier, but also it comes from a personal perspective because I identify as someone who has a disability and I use a wheelchair. I think there's tremendous power in activism and change motivated by personal experience. I also think that doing work in inclusive design and sort of expanding the dominant narrative of our culture is really important and brings meaning to the experience of being a person with a disability.
Well, the fact is, no one can speak better to the needs of a person with a disability than one who has one and can
actually... Yeah, I agree with that.
It's really a matter of identifying the issues. Anyone can look at a theoretical model of what a disability means, but having experienced it and knowing what works in a practical sense.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what you're illustrating here.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
Samantha struck on the key to inclusive design right at the end there. In so much as any person, any able-bodied person can come in and say, these are the facts as I understand them, reading from a textbook saying we should have this, this, and this. But does it work for everyone? Is it really an inclusive design? If you don't ask a person with a disability, have you tried this and does it work? Fact is, people like Samantha are bringing new ideas, new perspectives to disability life. Fact is, you want to know what a person with a disability needs? Ask them. Most are very willing to talk about their conditions, their circumstances. For the simple realization, it is not a thing to be ashamed of. It is not a thing to hide. It's something to be discussed openly. To say, maybe, I move a little differently, or I learn a little differently. There is absolutely no shame in this. It's simply a matter of talking about it, can bring it to the forefront, can bring it into the minds of people to say, yes, There is a medical model for this, and yes, it dictates certain basics, but is there something beyond that? Is there a human element? Does this person, in fact, have the capability to go beyond what they were ever told they could do? Many times you hear the stories of people who were told they'd never walk again, getting out and running a marathon, or those who were told they could never have kids, have a brood of children waiting for them at home each night. These are the stories I love, folks. These are the stories that best represent disability life. Because it is no limitation. It is a difference which everyone has. Everyone learns a little differently. Everyone speaks a little differently. There are no two of us who are exactly alike. Even if you clone a person, the knowledge and experience will be completely different. Would they look alike? To some degree, yes. Would they think alike? Possibly. Would they be the same person? No. And would we as a society say, because you're not exactly the same as the person you came from, we're not going to accept you? You do that, and you create a standard no one can live up to. Because the fact of the matter is, disability life is all about diversity. Not because we want to make ourselves look good, or because we give a token job to a person with a disability. The work has to be meaningful, both to the person giving the job and to the employee. Life is all about reciprocal relationships, working together, giving this for that, building together, creating, sharing of resources, and in disability life, that's key. It's the reason I feel so strongly about things like the DEEP Conference, because it is reaching beyond. One mind alone may have the potential to create, but several minds together, all seeing a common dream, can create even more. Fact is, in disability life, it's never about facing it alone. It's about finding the right support and even the right new ideas. Finding people you can bounce ideas off of, that's key. Disability Rights Promotion International, they do an amazing job with this. They bring people together from across the world and they say, what are the issues in your day-to-day life? And what can we do to help you understand that you have strength and you have capabilities? And moreover, you have the protection of law. It doesn't always appear on the surface. There are rights, there are protections for people with disabilities. But that's where it falls to each one to ask the questions. Am I not a worthy human being? Do I not have the potential to create or to succeed? And if I do, why am I letting others limit me? Why am I not standing for these rights myself? Why am I not asking the questions? What can be done to help me reach my full potential so that I can share the gifts I do have with society? That's what it's all about, folks. When a person with a disability reaches their full potential, it's where they become able to share their insights and their potentials with a world that needs to think beyond its current standpoint. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.